You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. Tomorrow is July 4th, and the weather is expected to be sunny and hot. I suspect there'll be plenty of people outdoors camping and hiking on the mountain trails, boating on lakes and rivers. Safety is a high priority to ensure great memories of outdoor adventures. But on average, more than 1,000 search and rescue missions are conducted each year across the state. Unsurprisingly, 99% of the people who needed assistance over the last decade lived outside the county where they were rescued. Lack of preparedness was often the common denominator. Joining me today are two experts who know a thing or two about safety outdoors. Oregon State Search and Rescue Coordinator Scott Lucas joins the Jefferson Exchange this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
And I have, or we may be getting Sergeant Sean Richards, who leads the search and rescue team for the Jackson County Sheriff's Department. We'll see if we can get him on in just a moment. Scott, how many visitors hit the state parks in Oregon each year?
Oh, I would say tens of thousands with the Oregon State Parks, probably a higher number than that. Surprisingly, the state parks handle the visitors pretty well, and we don't have to do much work for search and rescue on the Oregon parks, but away from Oregon parks or around Oregon parks is where we make most of our business, so to speak.
Oh, is that right? Well, how many visitors are hitting the great outdoors anywhere in Oregon each year?
Oh, Travel Oregon, I think, talks about like this year we could have over 100,000, maybe higher number that will come to Oregon, probably more closer to 200,000, I would think, would traverse Oregon in the next 3 months, being the busy season for outdoors in Oregon. Oregon has an excellent outdoors environment, and people flock from all over the country. We just had an incident with one person from New Hampshire, and they're going to hike the Pacific Crest Trail for the next 2 months.
Hmm. Well, I imagine most folks know how to prepare for a family picnic, but not everyone knows how to prepare for a hike. So what are some of your recommendations to ensure a safe trip on a day hike?
Well, on a day hike, do a reconnaissance, of where that location is. We've never been there before. Find out the best way to get there, what the trail you can go on, certain sites, and you can Google what kind of if the trail is an easy hike or a medium or even an extreme hike, and that helps with your planning. Also, always dress appropriately, good footwear, outerwear, a small backpack, snack, water. It is an important piece to have. And then also your cell phone. Technology has kind of taken over with hiking now. So if you have your cell phone, make sure it's fully charged. You can get solar chargers too. And when you're hiking, you can turn off your Bluetooth and Wi-Fi, put it on airplane mode, because usually there's no Wi-Fi out there, and you're not going to be listening to any music, and that will help save your battery in case something happens and you have to get a hold of emergency responders later on.
Well, that's pretty good advice. How often do people get in trouble on hikes, and why?
Percentage-wise, I would say 50% of the time. I think we have a pretty good average about people not responding or not to planning well. And I think that's because they just don't, not being prepared. I think it's, they take a lot of things for granted. And I think there's another thing about technology. I think if they think they get in trouble, they can just call. But then sometimes, like I said, the technology lets them down too. So just being unprepared. I find that more often than not across all 36 counties, that they're just not prepared, even for a day hike. I've had several SAR missions where just for a day hike, they didn't dress appropriately. They had no water with them, and then they got misdirected and and their cell phone, of course, when they call you, it's on 5% battery and no chargers. So I think that's mostly what it is. It's just not being prepared.
I'm talking with Scott Lucas, Oregon's State Search and Rescue Coordinator. We didn't get Sergeant Sean Richards, who leads the search and rescue team for the Jackson County Sheriff's Department. So, Scott, you're going to have to carry the load here.
That's fine. Sergeant Richards does a good job, with excellent job. Jackson County actually is our number one search and rescue county. It's a rather dubious honor because they have the most missions for a year. But with that being said, Jackson County, it has a very, very well organized search and rescue team. It's very well supported. It has over 100 SAR volunteers, and that's on the, and they also have that's on the water or land. I mean, they do an excellent job down there. And if Sean Richards was on, he'd tell you that.
Well, speaking of the water, there are lots of beautiful lakes and rivers all over our region of Southern Oregon. What should people keep in mind when they're preparing to go out on the water?
Well, the water is, you know, similar to land, except that, you know, whether you're paddle boarding or kayaking, you should always have your personal flotation device. You should always wear one. I mean, there's a lot of accidents happen where they don't have one on, but I know it doesn't look cool, but you should wear one. You should actually, the same way, have your phone with you, prepare, you know, water, have plenty of water with you, and whatever watercraft you're in, make sure it's suitable for the lake you're on, because some lakes can be a lot more rougher than others, windier. But basically, just, you know, good common sense, and you'll have a good adventure.
Well, it looks like we did get Sergeant Sean Richards, who leads the search and rescue team for the Jackson County Sheriff's Department. He's just joining us. Sergeant Richards, are you there?
Yes. Thank you for having me.
Well, we're glad you could make it. What are some of the typical mistakes you've seen that end up in a call for help?
Yeah, I said lack of preparedness, whether that be a good solid plan or just perhaps equipment. You know, have that safety factor where if you do get and find yourself in trouble, you can get yourself back out.
Okay, and how often are search and rescue teams needed during the summer months?
You know, I think in Oregon, due to, you know, we have four seasons and it's a big recreational state, we're really pretty much busy year around. May pick up a little bit during the water activities during the summer, but other than that, we're pretty busy year round.
And what kind of rescues are most common?
You know, I would say, you know, in the day of GPS, a lot of people getting stuck in vehicles is very common. And then, you know, big mountain, like Mount McLaughlin, Mount Hood, you know, where people are kind of on the more extreme end, keeps us pretty busy. Pacific Crest Trail hiking, but it's all over the board as far as what people are doing to recreate in Oregon.
Well, we're talking about how others should prepare before they get out in the great outdoors, but Sergeant Richards, how do you prepare? What goes into the training of a search and rescue team?
Yeah, so we have a pretty extensive program. Our average volunteer puts up between 200 and 300 hours just in training in their first year of service. So, you know, we basically try to get them up to the highest level that they're physically fit to do. And, they put in a ton of time to just make sure they have that basic level of knowledge to keep them safe out there, regardless of what the job we give them.
And what's the cost of training and operating a search and rescue team?
Yeah, I can obviously only speak for my team. It can be expensive, but, you know, you have to weigh that out with the majority of our help is volunteer, and they give, you know, a good amount of time, which has a lot of value as well. So I really can't put a number to it, but it's you know, it costs, but it's well worth it. And we make it up with our wonderful volunteers.
I'm talking with Scott Lucas, Oregon State Search and Rescue Coordinator, and Sergeant Sean Richards, who leads the search and rescue team for the Jackson County Sheriff's Department. Scott, statewide, what's the cost?
Well, if we did the cost, we put in volunteer hours, and the statistics, even for, like, we have paid and unpaid, the volunteers versus the law enforcement, and the law enforcement, I think last year we did I rolled it up, and it was over $500,000 in expenses and law enforcement salaries statewide. And if you add up all the volunteer hours using the FEMA volunteer schedule, they don't get paid. But if you had to, you know, but there's a dollar value to volunteers, then it's in the millions of dollars. I mean, close to $3 million of expense that they offer to the state of Oregon, on 36 counties.
Well, we're talking about over 1,000 or roughly 1,000 rescues happening every year. What does it cost the folks who are rescued by these teams?
It depends on the rescue, actually. Search and rescue, I will say that we do a lot more rescues and searches because of technology, like I mentioned before. They call, we know where they are. If we do, like Sean was talking about, the Alpine side of it, when you get helicopters involved, you know, that can, one rescue there could be on a, you know, 4 or 5 hour mission. 6 hours can be, you know, $30,000, $40,000 for the aircraft alone.
Sergeant Richards, I appreciate that. Sergeant Richards, what advice would you give to families, to parents, when they're bringing their kids out into the great outdoors?
Let me circle back just for a minute. As Scott was saying about costs, those are the costs that come to us. So we don't charge for search and rescue in the state of Oregon. So if you get yourself into trouble, we're going to come and help you. And search and rescue in Oregon is kind of an unfunded mandate of the sheriff. So the money comes out of the local sheriff's budget. And very few times in my last 27 years of a career have I seen anybody get a bill from search and rescue. And those were usually hoax-type activities. And I don't know that we've ever collected any of those either. And even if you did get charged, the law states in Oregon you can get charged only up to $500. And Scott basically told you it can be costly.
But the priority is on the rescue, the search and the rescue. It's not on extracting any type of compensation.
I'm sorry, what was that? Any type of what?
Any type of compensation, any type of revenue. The priority is on rescuing lives.
100%. And that's why things are set up the way they are at Oregon, that it doesn't cost. Because we don't want people to, you know, question their decision whether they call for help on monetary costs. So we want them to call early as they can, because time and distance is our worst enemy. So the sooner you call, the better. And I believe your other statement was, and I apologize that I went off on a side tangent there, was how do people prepare with their kids, is the same with them. You've got to have some sort of a 24-hour pack. First of all, a plan of where you're going, what you're doing, and share that with somebody in case you do get in trouble. And then if you do get in trouble, you have some equipment with you, extra water, clothing, fire-making ability, the things that you need to stay alive until we can get you to you and get you rescued. So whatever is going to make you a little more comfortable in that time period is what you should carry with you for you and everybody in your group.
Is there some place online where people can go and get that type of advice as to how to prepare when they're going out into the great outdoors?
Absolutely. You can pretty much Google the 10 essentials of, you know, hiking, and it's going to give them to you.
Okay. Well, it looks like that's all the time we have for this segment. Scott Lucas, Oregon State Search and Rescue Coordinator, thank you.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it.
And Sergeant Sean Richards, who leads the search and rescue team for the Jackson County Sheriff's Department. Thank you.
Fantastic. Thank you.
You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. We'll be right back.